All right. Thank you, Brother Cruz. Never get tired of hearing what the Lord Jesus has done for us. He is our city of refuge. I hope you're in him tonight. Know what the psalm was saying there. The analogies that, so many analogies that can be made, and so many of the songs are that. And the old gospel songs, they taught the gospel truth. It wasn't 7-11 songs, you know, the same line, seven words repeated 11 times. 7-11 courses. I like the old gospels that tell the truth, amen. And when you hear the song, you're hearing the gospel. Well, I'm on limited time for what I want you to look at with me tonight. I want you to go to the Old Testament, so I'm just going to have to assume some Bible knowledge and scan just a little bit with you. Want to talk to you tonight on a bad subject. The very word itself has an ominous meaning to it, sound to it, and that's the word treachery. You ever hear that one? Or the word betrayal. Now, that's not a good sound, is it? Have a story here, and you have many stories in the Bible of treachery and betrayal, and of course Judas is probably the most well-known in betraying the Lord. But in the Old Testament, I want you to go with me tonight to 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15, and I'll abbreviate a story a little bit. It was this dark hour, sad time in King David's life. He's gotten older now. The devil has been shooting at him all his life, but he's finally hit him with the sin that of adultery. Yet God spared his life, and yet David had to reap for it. And part of that reaping brings on one of the greatest stories of treachery or betrayal that you could find in the scripture. And that's when his own son, by the name of Absalom, betrays his daddy to steal the kingdom from him. And to read several chapters, beginning in about 2 Samuel 15 and actually before that, and go in several chapters here, would be the story. Let me hit at it just a little bit by starting off to read in the first five or six verses of 2 Samuel chapter 15. It says, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate." Now this was more like standing at the door of the council meeting of the city hall, the way of the gate. "And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, 'Of what city art thou?' And he said, 'Thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel.' And Absalom said unto him, 'See, thy matters are good and right.'" He was really politicking. Politicians. I think about the mother that later on a friend asked her, said, when you had that baby boy, did you ever expect him to be a great lawyer? She said, "Oh yes, when I saw him lie on both sides." Now you think about that just a little bit. Politicians fit that description also. And here you got Absalom doing some politicking now. Every man's controversy, every man's need is right. That's what he's saying here. And he says in verse 4, "Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." He's saying, you're not getting justice now, but if I was a president, you'd get justice. Amen. Verse 5, "And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him." Politicians are known for kissing babies, but this was a manner of greeting here. Verse 6, "And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom," and watch the next line, "stole the hearts of the men of Israel." If you dropped on down with me, and I may refer to it later, verse 11, this chapter, "Then Absalom went, and with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything." That crowd is still with us today. They go in our voting booths every time we vote. Amen. They went in their simplicity and knew not anything. Verse 12, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gallo, while he offered sacrifices, was at worship, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Now what we have here, we have Absalom being a traitor. There's a difference in a spy and a traitor. A spy generally in every war, in every country fighting against another country, spying is part of it. We understand that. But a traitor is one that's on one side and switches, goes to the other side. And so what we have in Absalom is a traitor. Even though King David is his father, and I understand he had some sons by different mothers and all that, and yet Absalom here brings in this conspiracy, and it's a hard thing that he does. He is betraying his father to the place of, as you read the story, you'd find out if he'd won, he'd have had his father killed. That's pretty bad, isn't it? That's pretty bad. You read in the dictionary about betrayal or traitor, and it'll be one who betrays confidence or an allegiance. And I wrote that little note down. I don't think we need it. Most of us, as soon as you hear the word, you understand what it needs. But here's something you might not understand, and if you follow it in the Bible, you'll see it's true in every case. A traitor does not only destroy the one he's betraying, he destroys himself. Destroys himself. Judas is probably the biggest example of that. Judas, the man Judas, now I know the devil had filled him, and he was a devil from the beginning, Jesus said, and I understand all that. But the human part of Judas couldn't live with himself. And he went out and hanged himself. And he couldn't live that way. Now, I want to just talk about it a little bit tonight. I want us to see some areas of betrayal today, and of course, you know so many of them. I look around today and I see our nation being betrayed. A lot of people in America feel betrayed. It don't seem to matter who we elect, things keep going downhill, going wrong, and the values that built the country being destroyed and being denied, and it's a hard thing. The news of the day, the news of the week, I heard the FBI head, and he sounded pretty honest in speaking right. He's basically said, this runaway train, this terrorist thing that's coming in America, we're heading off a lot of them, but he said, we can't head them all off. What he's saying, his son's going to get through. And he's been honest about that. And yet, at the same time, we keep the borders open. We're doing everything in the world we can to aid the terrorist instead of get rid of him, it looks like. And it's just a sad, sad thing to see. But our history, we've had traitors in the past in America. You recognize the name Benedict Arnold? Very few folks will name their kids that. Because he did a dastardly deed way back in the days of the Revolutionary War and General George Washington, you remember? And he betrayed, in the Revolutionary War, he betrayed America. And if you go over to West Point, even today, in that war of 1790, if you go over to West Point, and I've read, and I don't know this is true, but I've read where part of the payment that Benedict Arnold got was 30,000 pieces of silver, which was a lot of money in 1790. And amazing, Judas sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. But there's an empty place there in the West Point where the shield of Benedict Arnold should be on the wall. You have the shields of men like General Washington and others, and there was a place, an empty place, because he became a traitor. It was his place, but he betrayed the country, and he let it go, and there's an empty place there. And out on the battlefield, what do you call it, Saratoga battlefield, where they have monuments up, Benedict Arnold's monument is missing. He became a traitor and betrayed his country. He's probably one of the most well-known, famous, and so on. But some of you folks are old enough and remember, in our time, In our history, I think about names like the Rosenbergers. How many of you know who I'm talking about? They betrayed America, and by the way, they got the death penalty, you remember? Then you have Alger Hiss, remember him? Some of the traitors, some of the ones that betrayed America. And as we look back, we can see that. But what I'm concerned about today, I see our Christian heritage being denied. I see treachery and denying the very God that made this country great. It's as though we were turning and slapping God in the face. And we're seeing the results in a culture that our kids are raised in now that know not God. And they don't have the right yardstick to measure by. The Bible's no longer allowed in school. It's no longer the yardstick. And everywhere you look, we're reaping for that sad conditions. I saw right here in our county several years ago, and I think some of the good folks got it stopped. But right here in our county, a number of years ago, they actually put out like a questionnaire. They're doing this all the time to the kids. It's a thing of brainwashing. And they actually put out a thing here that was talking about what would it take for you not to salute the flag. And a number of them said they would not salute it for enough money. Questions that were loaded questions, to make it easier for them to start denying the very foundations that built our country. And that's sad. Leading, and all you got to do is lose a generation to lose a nation. That's all it takes, and we are there, folks. I hate to say it. Leading our nation to destruction and the bashing of Christians that's going on today, and the giving up of our freedoms everywhere that you look. People are concerned, and they're concerned that we're getting to move into a police state. Did you see where the president said how frustrated he was he couldn't get the gun control he wants? Did you hear him when he said that you senior citizens, that's me now too, that we were going to be examined to see if we were mentally trustworthy to own a gun? You see, now, we're the dangerous ones. We're the ones going in and shooting up places. Crazy, isn't it? It's just a trick. It's just a deception to try to take up the guns. They're a little bit fearful that some of us old folks still got some values we might defend. And I think we have, amen? But I see our nation being betrayed every way that you turn. Somebody handed me this tonight. It says dangerous trends. And I've seen this stuff, and you have too. The title here, Ignoring Terrorism But Celebrating Gay Pride. And they celebrated in Washington, in the Defense Department, Pride Month, Gay Pride. What pride is there in the abomination of homosexuality condemned in the Word of God by God Himself? How can you be proud of that? But anyway, talking about it here. The celebration includes events inside the Pentagon, posters, PowerPoint presentations, even a special video from the news agency of the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense also conveyed its approval by rainbowing its website. Do you understand that? How many of you saw the White House when they had all the colors celebrating the stupid judge's decision to let men marry men and women marry women, blah, blah, so-called gay marriage? So now this Pentagon website is going to rainbow its website, put those colors there. Now that's treachery. Far as old America goes, it's treachery. That's exactly, it's bashing Christians everywhere you look, and yet elevating Islam and the homosexual agenda everywhere you look. But let me say, not only treachery of our nation, but the betrayal of our families. Now that's predicted in the Bible. Matthew 10:36, Jesus said, talk about the last days, he said a man's foes would be those of his own household. And listen, as a preacher, trying to help people, I've seen this for years and I see it increasing. There is a big betrayal between the old family values and how the kids are growing up and losing them today. Kids, listen to me. That parent that fed you and clothed you and gave you a house to live in and taught you what was right, God's going to deal with you for betraying that. You better be careful. You're on dangerous ground with God. You see, sometimes, and all, well, it is true, those that are nearest to you that you love the most can hurt you the most. And pain that will go deeper than anything else, it is from them that you've loved and done right by, and all of a sudden they, as it were, sell you out and betray you. That hurts. My, that hurts. That's what Absalom did here. He was turned on his father. Turned on his father. You see, he had a good conspiracy. I read that to you. He laid groundwork. He planned. He got at the gate. He politicked. He kissed the babies, so to speak. He gathered them all in, and next thing you know, he had a strong conspiracy, and he went even further. If you were to look at it in chapter 15 a little further, in 16, you'd find out that David had on his had for years a very faithful friend, and that friend was the name of a man by Ahithophel. Pick it up in chapter 15 and look at it in verse 12, 2 Samuel 15, verse 12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, I read it, the Gilonite, David's counselor, David's right-hand man, the one that had advised David, been with David, faithful to David, knew David's secrets, knew all the plans, Ahithophel. But Absalom was able to reach him, and he betrays David. And it says in verse 12, the conspiracy was strong. Now you go ahead and you read the advice that Ahithophel gave to Absalom about how to defeat his daddy. He said to him, now you know the story, David and all those that was loyal to him had to flee Jerusalem. They had to run. And while they were running, Absalom is going after him. But he asked the counsel of David's right-hand man, of David's own counselor. And that counselor betrays David and tells Absalom what to do. And he says, catch him while he's weary and tired. Go on out there tonight and, as it were, do it quickly. And it was good counsel. It would have worked for his winning the war against his daddy. No doubt about it. But notice in verse 31 of chapter 15, God gets in this thing. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And if you will read the story, you'll find out that's what God did. You'll find out that another man showed up that was on David's side. And he came also before Jonathan, and Jonathan had confidence in him. And his name is Hushai. You pick it up in verse 7 of chapter 17. Keep your Bible open and look at it with me. This is a fabulous story. Tremendous story. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. Now, what you got here? You got Ahithophel giving Absalom a plan to catch David and to kill him. Then you got a fella that's called in, another one of the counselors, Hushai here. He says unto Absalom, his counsel is good, but not at this time. Notice verse 8. For said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, they be mighty men, and they be chaffed in their minds as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father's a man of war and will not lodge with the people. Now we've seen enough cowboy movies to understand that. Sometimes the bedroll by the fire is fake, and the guy that shoots into it, but the real man's hiding behind the rock. Anybody seen that? I can't preach to you if you don't understand science. Got to understand the deep things, amen? And so what Hushai here says, he said, David's not dumb enough to let you slip up on him. He'll be hiding back here. So he gives some counsel. He's trying to stop Absalom from following Ahithophel's counsel. And so he says, your dad will be like a bear robbed of her whelps. You don't attack him while he's in that condition, you'll lose. And so he talks Absalom out of making a quick move, delays him. And course, Ahithophel is hearing all this. And I think Ahithophel knows that God must have got in it. Because look what he did. You move on down, verse 14 of chapter 17. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed," who? The Lord got in it. "For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom." See, God took sides too. Amen. Absalom betrayed his father, but God didn't. The Lord stayed where he'd always been. And so it says here, the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel. Now Ahithophel is wise enough to know he's been whipped. Found out. So pick it up with me in verse 23 of chapter 17. "And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself, and died, and was buried in the sepulcher of his father." Isn't it kind of interesting? The traitor destroyed himself. Right. But isn't that what Judas did? Right. Didn't Judas go out and hang himself? You see, when you betray God, you're destroying yourself. And when Ahithophel switched sides and went to Absalom against David, he forgot God was involved. God is always involved, amen? I look around today and I see our families hurting here and there, and I've heard some stories you wouldn't believe. Preachers hear, you know, parents, God's ordained that parents have kids, take care of those kids, provide for those kids, train those kids. And yet today, some of the kids that are born in, truth is, a lot of them don't even get born. The very mother that's supposed to be the God ordained to take care of a baby. They say the most dangerous place in America today is in a mother's womb. Pure old wholesale murder going on. You talk about betrayal, a mother betraying that precious baby within her body. Now that's betrayal. Amen. And you talk about kids coming to a family where incest is committed, where all kind of awful stuff, and you've read it in the paper where some parents sell their kids into sex slavery, all the awful stuff that you read about, and you say, how in the world, when a nation turns its back on God, ungodly things become the norm. And we're passing laws now for the very ungodly stuff to be legal. What a mess we have come to, and how I feel for our families. We see all those kids out at camp this week, and I feel guilty sometimes preaching to young folks, because I preach from a foundation of loving parents. You're going to relate to your own life. We certainly were poor by the world standards, but we were rich in love. We were rich in morality. We were rich in caring for each other. And listen, today kids don't have that to relate to. I'm not talking about all of them, but too many of them. And we see them with the kids we minister around here with the bus ministry and the camps and everything else. And those kids can't hardly relate to us getting up and telling them about wholesome families and how things ought to be and how we were raised and all that. They hadn't had that experience. I remember having a boy over in my house many years ago. Trying to help him. And he came and ate supper with us. Well, he ate several meals and spent several nights. But I remember one of the first times that we sat down at the table. Now, my son was almost his age. And there was my wife and my son and this visiting young man, already up to a young teenager. And I saw him looking as we sat down at the table. And there we had plates and we had silverware and we had our drinks, sweet tea, of course, and good stuff on the table. And he sat there and I looked at him, because we had the blessing. We were beginning to get the food on our plates. And he looked at me and he finally said, "I don't know what I'm supposed to do." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, we never done this at my house." I said, "What do you mean? You didn't eat?" Oh, yeah, but he said, we just went to the refrigerator and went here and there and got something when we felt like it. I want to tell you something. There's something good about sitting around a table. There's something good about a family having a blessing. There's something good about things being done decently and in order. And that's part of training the kid. Family life is important. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll raid the fridge should I want to, but the truth is, generally, I don't have to. It'd be better if I didn't. But I grew up in a home where you sat down at the table, where you had plates, where you had silverware, where people stopped and paused, and yes, even the blessing said over the meal. That's a foundation a lot of kids don't have to relate to. And that's really, really betrayal of what God's plan was for the family. And it's too bad that it's true. It's true of the family. Betrayal in the church. Oh, my, my, my. We're in the Laodicean church age, but the church represents Christ. The Bible says he loved the church and gave himself for it. And I look around today and I see the church being betrayed, and yes, by its own family, so to speak, by its own members, so much of the time. I remember one time way before I got in the ministry, I was youth leader. And I went with the pastor to make a hospital visit, and we made it. I forget who we went there for, but he said to me, he said, there's an old preacher down the hall here in a room, and let's stop by and see him. And we did. Now, I was just a young man. I was just along for the ride. And we walked into the room, and here was an older man in the bed, pretty sick. And my preacher began to talk to him. He knew him, and he began to talk to him. And I didn't have to be Einstein to pick up on the communication. The communication was the old preacher in the bed. He was hurting. He'd been betrayed. He was somewhat whining about it, maybe even bitter about it. And I listened to it all, and I heard my pastor pray for him. And he walked back out down the hall, and I said something about, and my pastor said to me, he said, yeah, he's been done wrong. He's hurting bad. Now I want to say to you, preachers better have alligator hide, rhino hide. They better be tough, but they're not supermen. They're still human. They still got feelings. And nothing hurts more than betrayal. Just betrayal. Plain old betrayal. It is too bad. Too bad. It takes place all the time. Preachers today are not the first, but boy, some of them got so many knives sticking out of their back, they look like porcupines. I cut this clip in, and I think it's out of the Sword of the Lord right here, and stuck it in my Bible. And most of you, how many of you have heard of Matthew Henry? Matthew Henry's commentary, just about everybody's got it now. He's not as much Baptist as I am, but a lot of good spirituality in that commentary. He was a pastor, too. A lot of folks forget that. I'll read something he wrote, just short, and it won't mean much to you, but it means something to me, and it'll mean something to preachers that know what he's talking about. And here's what he says. He's talking about where he pastored. He said, though the people at Chester, that would be the place, are most loving people, and many of them have had and have an exceeding value for me and my ministry. Yet I have not been without my discouragements. There and those such as have tempted me to think my work in that place has been in a great measure done. Many that have been discipled by me, that have been long with us, have left us. You see his heart. You feel his pain. Now, we're talking about a long time ago. Long time ago. But when you deal with people, you got to look over them. You got to look to the Lord, because I will guarantee you they'll let you down. Thank God, not all, but the closer you are to somebody, the more you've tried to help them, the more you've sacrificed for them, the worse they can hurt you when they turn on you. And every preacher can tell you stories, and many preachers out of the ministry, and yes, bitter, because of that very thing. And that's that is a very sad thing. But you know, people get cross. I've seen it in my church. Preachers have seen it. I've seen them sit here and say amen when I preach the King James Bible as the very word of God. I've seen them sit here and say amen when I talk about Christian living ought to be right and represent the Lord Jesus Christ. But then something crossed them a little bit. Just a little something. Maybe something I said that they interpret. The devil got through. He got a dart through somewhere. And the next thing you know, they run off to a liberal church, don't believe that there is any such thing as the very word of God. A church that plays the same junk music you hear in the bar. Don't represent at all what they've been saying amen to and living under for years. Yeah, I mean years. But all of a sudden, I didn't have my way on something. I got offended about something. And I'm gone. That's betrayal that hurts. Really hurts. The old Chinese proverb says, "Why do you hate me? I have not tried to help you yet." A lot of truth to that. A lot of truth to that. And preachers feel that. Churches being betrayed. Pastors being betrayed. I'm talking about godly pastors. I'm talking about Bible-believing pastors. I'm talking about those that believe sin is wrong and heaven's high and hell is hot. I'm talking about those kind of pastors today are being put down right and left across this country. And churches just like this one, and I give you warning, if God Almighty moves me, if he strikes me dead tomorrow, you say, "Oh, Landmark will stand. Pastor Carter's preached to them for 44 years. They'll never dip their colors." Watch out. Watch out. Be on guard. Yes, it can happen even with these walls. And it won't happen all at once, but just a little at the time. To the next thing you know, a little music slips in, a new Bible slips in, new standards or no standards slip in, and it won't even be the same place that it used to be. Some of you know of some great works. Some of you know of great work up in Chattanooga, Tennessee that's no longer. The great man of God that led it for years, but little by little, preacher by preacher, and now it's gone. It's basically gone. That's sad. That's betrayal. That's betrayal of the Lord's house, of the Lord's cause, of everything that was right. By the way, everything that was right, still right. Amen. Truth don't change. Amen. Honest to God, facts don't change. People pervert interpretations, but the truth is still there. And you know, I look around and I see a lot of folks betray the Lord Jesus Christ by the very lifestyle they live. It hurts Jesus. Remember the old story of the Christian girl that went to the dance? Now, some of you are not going to like this, but this is old-time Baptist preaching. She went to the dance and she was on the dance floor with the boy and a lot of couples out there dancing. And she'd been a good, faithful Christian girl, and she said to him while they're dancing on the floor, "Are you a Christian?" And he said, "No, are you?" She said, "Yes." He said, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Even the lost world knows where you belong and when you're out of place." Sure they do. Sure they do. I look around in our own ministry here and thank God for the loyal staff that I've had. This works here because of faithfulness and loyalty through many years. Now, the trouble is, we're all getting old and slower. Well, our heart's still right, but we just hadn't got enough feet to carry it around like we used to have. Amen? I understand that. But thank God for those that have been faithful. We wouldn't have a school or a college or a radio station or anything else except some folks have been faithful. And yet, if you want to keep that for your grandkids, if Jesus don't come, somebody else has got to step up and take over and be loyal and be faithful and have the same truths that don't change. That's what's needed in our church, what's needed in every church. It's an awful thing to see betrayal here and there. Slipping in. If you were to read, and I won't turn to it, but over in Psalms 41, David refers to this betrayal of Ahithophel. He said, basically, if it was an enemy, I could have understood, but he said it was my faithful friend. You read that and you think he's talking about Judas. Well, in type he is, but immediately he's talking about his counselor, Ahithophel, that sold him out and brought in and helped Absalom bring in the security and bring in the betrayal. By the way, not only did Ahithophel hang himself like Judas, but Absalom hung also. Remember the story? Remember how he's out there in the battle and he walks on the oak tree? And Absalom had great pride. He had long, beautiful hair. He wouldn't cut it but once a year and tell everybody how much it weighed after he cut it. He was proud of it. But it was that pride that caught in the branches of the oak tree. And Lester Roloff said, and the mule walked on. I like that. And the mule walked on. The mule was not impressed with Absalom. And when his head caught in the branches, the mule didn't stop. He walked on, and Absalom was hanging by that pride of his, that hair. And though Joab had been told of King David, don't kill him, he come up and shot a dart through his heart. You remember the story? So what happened? Every traitor you read about in the Bible, they destroy themselves. Sooner or later, that betrayal bounces back and gets them and betrays them themselves and destroys them. It's easy, my friend, to become a traitor because the devil is out to get you. Somebody said, well, Judas sold Christ. No, he didn't sell Christ. He never had Christ to sell. Amen. He never was saved. He never was born again. He never was in Jesus, but he betrayed himself, just like Ahithophel did. Devil is still trying to get folks today. See, somebody said, well, the devil's down there sitting on the bar stool. No, he's not. He's sitting on the pew in church. He's already got the guy on the bar stool, on the stool down there. He already got him. He wants to set in where he can betray somebody else and betray the truth and deceive somebody else and snatch them away. That's where he's at. You better watch out for that. It's the way it works. And the devil's still trying to get some of you, maybe even here tonight. You ever read over there where Paul said everybody's forsaken him? At the end of his ministry, one of the saddest things you read about Paul's ministry is how they forsook him. One place he said, and Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Turned his back on the one that had done a lot for him. Folks, we better be careful. Never been an age of deception like we're in now. Never been an age when the devil had the tools to cause kids to betray their parents and parents their kids and church members their church. Never had the tools he's had today. Never had the electronic gossip vine that he has today to do harm with. Oh, how we need to be careful. How we need to be careful to not fall and certainly not become part of a betrayal thing. Oh, it's a sad thing today, but it is going on like never before. Then I want to say to you tonight, if you're here and you're unsaved, to remain unsaved is to betray your own soul. Did you know that? There's a soul inside of us crying out, I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. And when you deny letting that soul trust Christ as Savior, that's the greatest betrayal that possibly could be. I read this morning in the text, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Don't betray your soul. If you're not saved, come to Jesus. That soul's going to live on somewhere in eternity, heaven or hell, depending on what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I felt somewhat strangely led to preach this message, and yet, Lord, didn't say all the things I know should have been said. But I pray what was said will help somebody. I hope we'll look in our hearts and examine our position before you. And Lord, in these last days before you come, with so many falling out and turning back, and Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to finish the course. Help us to be loyal. Help us to hold the same truths we started with and lift up Jesus in our lives like we used to and live for him like we're going to see him tomorrow, because we may. I pray you'd bless the invitation, speak to our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Let's